Hey, expats and travelers, welcome to this week's episode sponsored by WorldPost.io, the virtual mailbox service powered by Anytime Mailbox. We'll get to the features and benefits a little later.
If you're interested in becoming an expat, whether you're moving to Portugal or another overseas location, I highly recommend you get your finances in order before you move.
Yes, it's actually really important that you do it before you go.
I know when we first got started, we did not do it that way, but if we knew John McNerney at Green Ocean Global, we would have gone to him, as he's someone that is Lisbon-based and he is experienced with expat financial challenges. So he's a go-to person that we recommend.
Right. He can help you with long-term investments, financial systems, and international taxes.
And he's actually helped us, and producer Dan has used him to explore what it would be like to move abroad and see if it would fit his family's current financial situation.
I think what's great about him is that he gives you personalized plans. He will look into your unique situation and he'll help you out.
And this is honestly what's super necessary, because we get tax questions and finance questions on the YouTube channel and literally no background from the person that's asking us the question. So now we've started to point people to John.
Right, because everyone is different and everyone has their own unique situation. So you need an expert to help you out.
All right, so visit greenoceanglobal.net for contact information and further assistance. Check out the show notes below.
Hello, and welcome, my emerging expat. You're tuned in to Let's Move to Portugal. I'm producer Dan, and I have the distinct honor of bringing you YouTube travelers and our resident Portugal experts, expats everywhere's Josh and Kaylee. Each week, they'll inspire, they'll educate, and they'll accompany you on your journey to Portuguese residency. This week on Let's Move to Portugal, Kaylee sits down with Diane, who shares her exhilarating journey from California to the serene Silver Coast, navigating the realms of retirement, pet relocation, and embracing a new chapter in Portugal.
Hey, expats and travelers alike, welcome back to the Expats Everywhere Presents Let's Move to Portugal podcast. This is season 2, episode 24. Kaylee, how you doing?
I let you do it first this time. Back to normal. I am doing well. How are you doing?
Doing well. Time just changed. I feel pretty good. I don't feel sleepy or anything like that.
No, this is the one though. And when Josh says time just changed, we just had our daylight savings here in Portugal.
Yes.
Unlike America, who had it a couple weeks ago. But this one's the one though where you're not sleepy, right? You stay up a little later.
Stay up a little later.
Because you spring ahead with the hour, so you're not really tired. So there is that.
Yeah, feel good. Okay. I'm actually loving how the sun is out later in the day.
Yes, that's so nice. And we've
after
had
after eight, yeah, sun's still out. Love it.
It kind of throws you off though at first, right? Because it's like, it's that late?
No, you know what? I've been anticipating it, so I've been like tracking it every couple weeks. Like, all right, what's the sunrise, sunset times? Hmm. When's daylight savings coming? When are we going to get rid of daylight savings?
Yeah,
we like talk let's about stay that on this. Time. Like, let's stay on this exact time zone. That's the one.
But
I
that
like.
Was apparently something that was talked about before COVID. I think the EU was going to do away with it.
And I think they had voted on it and said yes. And then COVID hit. COVID, we can't do it anymore, guys.
That makes no sense, right? Yeah. No. Oh no, we don't know what to do.
No.
Yeah. One thing, listener, that if you are just listening and not watching, something I'm giggling at a little bit is Josh and I are both wearing black, but I have a black t-shirt and Josh looks like his was black 20 years ago.
This shirt is 20 years old.
Very faded.
Yeah.
And so if you see us on YouTube on the podcast channel there, you can take a look at the difference in new black and old black.
Listen, they don't make t-shirts like they used to. Like this one's held up really well apart from the
collar fraying.
Yeah.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
It's an oldie but a goodie. Yeah.
So there is that. When I see our video, it kind of makes me giggle.
Well, I think the important thing is our colors are different. So it distinguishes it on in the visual.
So you can tell the difference between the two of us, so we don't just look like one big blob with two heads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What if we were one big blob of trash?
That's okay.
Okay. So this week, we were able to go check out the property multiple times, and that was awesome to be able to go by there, see the progress on the work. When I say property, for those of you who are new, we have bought a property in Porto, Portugal, and we are renovating it. Mm-hmm. And the date for completion has not moved, which is a good thing. So it's supposed to be finished by the end of June 2025.
But demo is in full swing. So that's kind of fun because obviously you see stuff change quickly with demo, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just knocking a bunch of stuff down.
Yes.
And then in a couple weeks, the crane will go up. They've got to set the concrete and do all that fun stuff. So that should be happening.
Yeah. When Kaylee says set the concrete, they have to pour a concrete slab so that they can set the crane.
But I thought, I mean, when I say set, though, I mean like the concrete has to set.
Yeah, it has to cure. Yeah, yeah. That's it.
I can use that terminology and make it seem like I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So if you want to follow that, then you can go to Let's Get Building with Josh and Kaylee because we actually have a little on there now. We haven't done a video yet, but we did get some photos of. I got to
video's coming, though. Like I'm going to start editing it after I do this coming week's edit that we haven't even shot yet. So that's
fun. It's going to be a fun one.
But speaking of the channel, we just put out a video about the mortgage rates here in Portugal. I mean, it's more about than just mortgage rates, but mortgages are dropping in terms of the rates. So it's a good time to buy houses. We interview the guy, Rafael, the mortgage broker that we used.
Yeah.
So
he's good, though.
He's very good. His team is very good.
And thank you to all those who have emailed and want to get put in touch with them. I'm happy to introduce you. So you can email me at info@expatseverywhere.com.
Yeah.
And I'll introduce you to Rafael.
And also thanks to those that have used Rafael and have commented on the video that we put out on Saturday saying like, hey, he's awesome. He did a great job. He got me the loan.
Yeah.
Rafael's team's great. All those things. Super helpful. Great feedback. And yeah, that's kind of what's been going on in the world of Expats Everywhere YouTube.
Right. So a couple things coming out. We've got a video about long-term healthcare that we're going to put out and a few other interviews. And, transferring money abroad, some of the logistical things.
True. Yeah. So, well, hand in hand with a mortgage is transferring money in like – the safest, most comfortable, and maybe even cheapest way, depending on how you look at it. Transferring money is a thing. It is. Like you.
What do you mean? Of course it is. Where are you doing? Where are you going with that?
No, like it is. It's a thing that can feel very, feel very daunting to when you're
nerve-wracking.
When you are purchasing a house in Portugal, the closing costs are immense because in general, as a foreigner, especially, your down payment is going to be like 20, 25, upwards 30%. And there are people out there that are in our community that have bought houses with cash. So the amount of money that you have to transfer from USD to euros is just really high if you're American, let's say, or Canadian as well, with your CAD, Canadian dollar, whatever it is.
So we touch on that and the best way to do that and how we did it as well. So
exactly.
Okay, but let's talk about the podcast. So that's on the channel, the podcast. I sit down and I chat with Diane. It was such an informative chat. I don't want to call it an interview, a chat, because they just went through the process. So they've just recently moved to Portugal and she's very organized. And so talking about the steps for when they had their visa appointment in the U.S., it was CEF. But by the time they got here, the in-person appointment, biometrics, was with IMA. So it's very, very recent. She was on the ball, has great advice, gives good information for what you currently need. So that's why it's really important to listen to what she has to say because it's what's happened recently. Because she does touch on when you research online, there's a lot of outdated information because it's moving so fast, right?
It is, yeah.
So it's really good information. Not only that, they also moved with pets. So for those of you who are looking to move with pets, they have that information and how that went. They had a bit of a tough time with one of their cats, which is kind of a funny little side story in there. But just very informative on the process. And then, of course, we do touch on where they are and how they're liking it and how they're liking their recent move and their home. So it was a really informative and good chat that we had.
Nice. And speaking of IMA, we are going to update our courses because our courses all talk about CEF. And although CEF and IMA are practically the same entity. I mean, they're different entities, but they're practically the same function.
A lot of the workers actually moved from processing visas with CEF to IMA now. Yeah.
But
and Diane talks about that.
We are updating the words that are used in the course, just to let you know that if you do purchase a course or you have in the past, it's going to be updated. You're always getting the most current thing that's happening in Portugal in terms of the immigration. We're not going to let that course die.
No. I update it all the time as things change because things have been changing. But we waited a bit on the videos, on actually updating the videos from the CEF to IMA, because this has been something that's talked about for years. So we wanted to see how the changeover went. Because, yeah, it really has been talked about for quite a while. And then it's like they said they were going to change and then they didn't. And then the changeover was bad. And so we have just been waiting to update those videos. Mm. All the text is always up to date. And I have like little side notes in there. Like, you know, when I say CEF, it's IMA now. And then we also have a video that explains that as well. But we are currently in the process of updating the actual videos for the course just for things like that when it says CEF rather than it says CEF, will change it to IMA. But right. The information is the same.
Enough with me and you. Let's get to you and Diane.
All right. Sounds good.
WorldPost.io is powered by Anytime Mailbox, which means you can get your mail anytime, anywhere, even on your smartphone.
And they really have competitive pricing with their lowest package starting at $5 per month.
Here's a cool feature they have. WorldPost can relay things from the US to Europe. So that includes documents.
Amazon purchases.
Amazon
from the
purchases.
US.
And you can get it to Portugal.
And they have a variety of packages. Some include secure shredding, free junk mail filters, and things like that.
I bet you love that junk mail filter.
Oh, lots of junk mail. I sign up for a lot of newsletters.
She's not joking. So if you're interested in worldpost.io, you can visit the website or check the link in the show notes below.
Okay, let's talk about Lusitana Dreams, because what they're offering is really great.
Yeah, it definitely is. And Dallas actually has grown Lusitano Dream since we first met him. So he's really getting his process dialed in. The thing that I like about it is it removes the barrier and choke point of the proof of accommodation, because that's been one of the biggest things that the D7 and the D8 for the long-term people have had problems with, right?
Yeah, it's definitely something that is really hard to lock yourself into sight unseen. But here you can have a legitimate contract. You can rest assured that it's going to be a soft landing because you're coming into a furnished place in a good location and a livable location until you can kind of get your bearings and figure out where you really want to live.
And the cool thing about it is that they can start your lease when you arrive. So you're not like burning a few months of cash, essentially paying for an apartment or paying for a lease that you're not using.
Yeah, that's one that's really hard to negotiate, trying to get a lease that starts when you want to arrive and not when you are actually applying. So the fact that they offer that as a service to where you're not, like you said, burning those months saves you a lot of money.
Yep. Lusitano Dreams offers visa-friendly proof of accommodation. So that could be for the D7 visa or the D8 visa. And their properties include detached houses, apartments, room rentals as well, in different locations like Lisbon, Cascais, Lule, and they're expanding too. So soon to be Porto and quite possibly Silver Coast.
Yeah, which is really exciting.
So check out Lusitano Dreams for more information. We have a link in the show notes below.
Diane, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. And I'm really interested to talk to you because you recently moved to Portugal. So you've gone through a lot of the different changes with CEF, IMA, paperwork. So I want to dig into that for sure. And then we'll talk about the fun stuff of how you are doing adjusting. You brought your cats over. So lots of fun stuff to talk about. So let's back up initially and explain to our listener what you were doing before and why you chose Portugal.
Okay, so I worked in healthcare IT, and my husband and I, prior to COVID, had been thinking we really wanted an adventure in retirement. And so we were thinking we might want to retire early and move overseas. And we had a short list of places we wanted to investigate, and Portugal was at the top of it, mostly based on a childhood visit I had, where I absolutely loved the food and thought it was beautiful. So we made plans to visit, but then COVID derailed us. And so once things opened back up, we said, well, let's start with the top of the list and let's go check it out. And we came out for a trip, saw a lot of different areas and just loved it. So we decided, why wait? We're not getting any younger and we want to be able to run around and do whatever we want. So we decided to go ahead and retire.
Did you check out any of the other places on your list, or Portugal was it and you were good with it?
Portugal was it. We did a lot of investigation of the other likely candidates, and Portugal was like really far above the other ones. There was like a sizable gap. So once we came over and we were happy with what we found here, we left our scouting trip actually with four different cities identified that we thought we would be happy landing in. And we thought that was a really good sign. So that was it.
Yeah, that is a good sign. Gives you options at least, right?
Right.
Were any of the other countries in Europe, or they were in different continents?
South America, we did have Spain as sort of a distant possibility, but Costa Rica was our number two, for example.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's quite common, I think, especially for Americans. We think, okay, what's south of us, right? In Central or South America as options. But then when you have an idea that maybe I could do a European country, that's when it gets a little more interesting. Like, could Portugal work? Could Spain work? Are there any other options? Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, great. So you decided on Portugal, you and your husband both retired at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
And well, he was like 3 weeks before me, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's still that in the grand scheme of things, that's still about the same time. Okay, great. And so then did you retire and then start looking into the paperwork, or you were going through the paperwork and preparing for the move before retirement?
We were preparing before retirement. It was a journey for us because we knew that appointments were taking a while with VFS Global to submit your paperwork on the U.S. side of things. We went ahead and we booked an appointment, and then we had like a target of trying to come 90 to maybe 120 days out, somewhere in that range. And that time frame ended up working for us. But that meant that I had to be strategic about when I turned in my notice, as did Eric. And we also got a pleasant surprise in that VFS Global had been really lagging in the San Francisco market. And then they just like got instantly better when we applied, and we were taken by surprise with how quick it was.
But
that was a good surprise.
Yes, definitely a good surprise. Okay, so what state did you move from? And then you went through the San Francisco VFS?
Yes. We had been most recently living in California, so that's where we were coming from. We lived in the Bay Area, which made it really easy for us because we didn't have to fly in and stay overnight. We just drove up and did our appointment.
Okay. Oh, perfect. So how hard was it to get an appointment when you started looking?
It wasn't too bad. I want to say that it was 2 months out, but early in that second month. We happened to just look at the beginning of a month, though, and that's when they tend to release a batch. So, and that was, I didn't know anything about that timing. I just got lucky.
Okay. And you created the login, checked, and created the appointment online and everything, right?
Right.
Okay, so you go to your appointment, and at the time of your VFS appointment, was Ceph still processing, or had the IMA switch happened?
Ceph was still processing at that point, but it was like kind of an imminent at any time it could switch over. I don't think they had quite announced that it was officially going to be October. They were still kind of fudging around with dates.
Okay, so you were a few months before that. Like, when was your VFS appointment?
July 10th.
Okay. So you go to your VFS appointment. Tell us what that was like. What paperwork did you bring? How did you feel about that process? Did you make appointments for both you and Eric, or you each had your separate logins? Help the listener run through that process.
Okay. We did make separate appointments and have separate logins, but I managed all of it because he doesn't really like to do that. He's more of like a building furniture logistics guy. So we were me, but double me basically. Mm-hmm. And I did all the paperwork organization for all of us. And I enjoy that type of thing. I mean, not to this level, but I like organization. So I was kind of in my wheelhouse, I guess. Mm-hmm. When we went we took the 11 required things that they indicate that you need to take. And it's been a while, but it's just the standard list, you know, the certified copy of our passport. We took one thing I took that was extra was I took our marriage license that was certified and apostilled. And at that point, I didn't have it translated. I had it translated when I got over here for the IMA appointment. We had the 3 months of finances, both on the Portugal bank side and the U.S. bank, and had a lot of mutual fund backup as well, which they didn't seem that interested for us because with Eric's Social Security, the amount that we made was adequate, so they were less concerned about savings for us. But I did include the savings, and I did include the statement of the estimate of what ultimately my Social Security will be when I'm able to take it. So I think that helped us as well. And then the application, I'm trying to think what some of the other things were that we took. We really didn't take anything usual. We just, everything that anybody wrote online at any time that they said, oh, I took this, we took it too. So we, in your class, I think you said overbring, we subscribe to that.
Yeah. I think it's always better. That's what I definitely say. And the course you're talking about, we have a D7 and a D8 course for you listener, if you want. And I also have a checklist. You can email us about this checklist too, of what you need. But I always say that like bring up and over, you know, proof of everything just in case, because they can always take stuff out. Right. But you don't want to get stuck with them saying, well, where's this? Because sometimes it's just the person you get that day and they're just being a little finicky and you're like, oh, I didn't think I needed that. And they want that. Right. So you might as well just bring it all.
Right. We brought everything, and they instantly like threw a bunch of stuff back in our lap, and then we had everything in order they needed. And then at the end, they were like, do you want to add anything? And I was like, yeah, these financial things, please. Cause I was just worried, you know, I wanted them to make sure they had everything. The interesting thing was, in that stage, even though it was still CEF, but right before we were applying in July, in May, they introduced some new visa types. And so I had this up until the day of or the day before feeling of, am I a D7 or am I this new thing called family member accompanying D7 visa applicant at the same time? And I didn't really know. So I prepared my packets both ways and my letter both ways, my letter of intent. And ultimately decided on the second one, since I don't have a pension at this point.
Okay. So at the VFS office, you asked them, like, what exactly am I applying for? Did you ask them?
I did. And that was funny, too. So I asked, like, I prepared it both ways. Which way, looking at our stuff, do you think I should do it? And they said, the person taking it said, well, you're definitely a D7 because you are on the bank account and you're on the lease. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, here's that packet. But not really. Like, I still was nervous about it because he gave me back my financial stuff since we were going under Eric's money. And I was like, well, that sounds more like I'm accompanying. So just in case he put us strictly in the D7 category, I just forced him to take my financial paperwork as a precaution. And he did that. He agreed to do that. But then when we got our visa back and I looked up the type of visa I was issued, it was issued the other one, the accompanying family member.
Did it say D6
on it? It still said D7, but the articles and stuff were different, and they were the kind where you accompany family member.
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like what happens is because Eric's financials sufficed for both of you, you were just considered a dependent rather than an independent D7 applicant, which happens a lot. I mean, mainly it's looking at finances and can the first person, which would be Eric, financially sustain everyone, you know, because this would go for kids as well. So can he financially sustain with what he has? But it's still good to put your financials in there as well, especially for future stuff, showing that in the future, when you do start drawing off of Social Security and such, you're set, right?
Right. I wanted us to look like a very good bet, a stable bet, you know, not just at the moment, but going forward. Exactly.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So then after you have your appointment, how did you feel? Did you feel nervous? Did you feel good about it?
I always worry about everything. I'm an overthinker. So I was fairly stressed out. And we actually got one bit of information that was supposed to be put on the application the morning of our appointment. Our appointment was at noon and we got it at 10 o'clock. So that I was pretty stressed out. But after the appointment, I left feeling great. He did Eric's packet first and he gave it back and said, what was the word he used? Beautiful, I think. So nice. I was like, okay, I think that sounds pretty good that the person who does a bunch of this likes it, you know? So I left feeling good. And I think Eric did as well.
Yeah, good. How long did all of it take from like getting there for your appointment, waiting to be called in, sitting with the person? How long was that?
I believe that we got up to see him to give him our paperwork at about an hour and 15 minutes after our appointment time. And there were a bunch of people that day, not everybody for Portugal, because San Francisco does France and a bunch of other countries. And France was quite busy. And then it only took us 30 minutes for him to do both of our sets of paperwork.
Okay. So definitely block out a good chunk of time just in case, because you're not sure if you'll be waiting for a while, really is the big thing.
Yeah. And we came early and scoped it out, made sure that we knew where we were going and what we needed to do just to make ourselves more comfortable.
Right. And then did you do money orders or did you pay there?
We did money orders.
Okay.
So part of why we went early was just to double check. And because it was the 10th of July and there'd been a holiday, the announcement of what the fees were going to be was a little bit delayed, but we did have it. We did have the information. So we got money orders, but then we went early to check to make sure that it hadn't changed, and it had not.
Okay. All right, good. Okay. So you sent them off. You're feeling good about her because he said beautiful for your packet. And then how long did it take for you to hear back from them?
Unbelievably 30 days.
30 days. Okay. And did you leave your passport with them or did you wait for them to contact you?
We didn't. And if you're applying at San Francisco, I'll tell you this, they are really pushy and they try to get you to leave it. And to the point where they said, oh, it's taking about 2 months for approvals. And then when we said, well, we're not going to leave our passport, we're just leaving the certified copy, they said, oh, well, it'll be four. Like it goes in a whole different stack or something. So, and we held our ground and we're like, no, you know, and it didn't matter at all, apparently, for us.
Yeah, I always recommend that you keep your passport because you never know, what pile it goes into, if it falls on the floor somewhere, you know, and it's just your passport, you know, it's nerve wracking, right? So it's a lot harder to have to get your second passport or something like that. Whereas when they do contact you, you can then just send in your passport and it's pretty fast from there, right? I mean, it didn't take that long when they contacted you, right?
Not at all. We dropped it in the mail. I think they had it in 2 days and then we had it about 3 days later back. So it was two or three.
Right.
It was very quick for us, but we're local, which helped.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you get your passport back. And then from there, how long had you planned on leaving from getting your visa to actually moving?
We wanted to move, in about 2 months from when we had, you know, an apartment to give notice on, work to give notice on. And so it was pretty fast.
Yeah.
Furniture to figure out a home for.
Right. Okay. Was that stressful or was it exciting?
It was exciting. For Eric, I think it was stressful because that's kind of his part of it, especially because he retired a few weeks earlier. He really was caught up in all the furniture disposal stuff, but that ended up being easier than we thought because our friends, our neighbors and cat sitters, we swapped cat sitting. They moved into our apartment and took a bunch of our stuff. So it's kind of nice to think about that. But I was calm because like the paperwork part was done for the time being. So,
Okay, good. That's good foreshadowing. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want to talk about the cats because you brought your cats and you had a bit of a wild ride with it, right?
Yes. everything went really smoothly at first for the cats. The paperwork was great, the vet visit, the extra microchipping, rabies certificate planning, all of that was great. And we decided we could have flown on TAP from San Francisco straight to Lisbon, but it was 11 hours. And then with all the waiting around that we would have to do on either end, we just thought that was too long for our cat's bladders. So we decided to give them a break in the middle and do two shorter flights. So we flew to Newark and planned to stay for about a day and a half there and then fly on from there to Lisbon, which sounds great in theory and might have been great in practice, except that our hotel had a fire alarm go off the morning of our Lisbon flight. And we had an evacuation, an ER visit, and a flood between then and our flight to Lisbon. So absolutely crazy. My female cat is still not quite over it. We managed to catch the shuttle to the airport 5 minutes before it was due to leave, because that's how much of an effort it took to get her back into her carrier. So I don't know that I would do it again that way, but it was just a fluke, a comedy of things coming together.
Do you think it was the fire alarm that ultimately did her in, or the
flame? I think it was a combination. She's very sound sensitive, and the fire alarm and us trying to evacuate with both cats. She didn't want to be shoved in, and she was freaking out. But I think if that had happened in our home, not in a hotel, it might have been different. And she'd spent a whole day in her carrier and wasn't too thrilled about getting back into it, I'm sure. So it was sort of a lot of things, but mostly the fire alarm.
Okay. So do you think that it would have been, I mean, in your personal case, would it have been better to just take that 11-hour flight, or what do you think for your cats at least?
I think with hindsight, I would have done it. And especially if I'd only had female cats, which are less at risk for like holding it than boy cats, but I had one of each. So I just was being cautious, but I think having to do it again, I would have, done the direct flight.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm not sure with cats, but with our dog, we would travel with him in the cabin because he's so small. So I would take those little like pee pads, and every few hours we'd go into the bathroom, put one of those down, and let him pee if he had to. Just, you know, that was my little thing that I would do to make sure he wasn't holding it too long. I don't know. Can you do that with cats, or?
You can try. We had pee pads for hours, but mostly cats tend to just, hold it the entire way if possible, which is kind of not great. But you can do some adjustment things like not feeding them as much, which is recommended anyway, and just being careful about the amount of water. So we were prepared, I think. And what some people do is if they have good travelers, especially with dogs, is they just take a little road trip and they go to one of the more a place like Newark or Boston that has a really short direct flight. So they have one flight, but it's shorter than 11 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And definitely. We could have done that, but we just opted not to.
Okay. So you made it to Lisbon, and then when you were in the airport, you went and saw the vet by the baggage claim, right? You did all that?
Right. Right. And that was really smooth. I mean, getting there was a really long walk carrying carriers. But the vet was really chill he scanned our cats and he gave one of them, more of a physical exam, but because of the situation with their female cat, he just basically waved the microchip over her carrier and said, "We're good." And looked in and went, "She looks healthy to me." And then took our money.
Yeah. How much did you have to pay? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I couldn't even hazard a guess. Whatever the current thing was, it was pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously for us, it's been several years, but I can't remember. It was like either 30 or 50, something like that.
Yeah. I 80 popped in my head, and maybe it was 40 for both, but I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But okay, so you did that. And then once you got into Lisbon, you found a vet. And do the cats have their EU passports yet?
They do. Our boy cat, who's a super traveler and really chill, got here his like a week after we landed, went to the vet and the whole thing. With the girl cat, she needed a little more babying. And so we persuaded our wonderful and brave vet to come over, and he did her exam at our apartment. And they both have their passports now.
Okay, great. And so your female cat is still a little in shock or getting better?
She's better. She's a lot better. Mostly her personality is back to normal, except she is, we're able to pick her up now, which we couldn't do at first because she was so scared of every little movement you made. But she's good now. And we can pick her up for things that we need to, but we kind of reserve it for just need to things. But she's still, with an unexpected sound, which has been fun with the workmen, she still does this like amazing cricket straight up in the air jump wow. when she is frightened by an unexpected noise. But every day she gets used to more and more of the noises. So she's good.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. It should get better, right, as time goes on.
Yeah. Like at first we were like, what are we going to do with this cat? Because she was just so freaked out. But her brother was really good at kind of teaching her how to be a cat again and was really patient with her. So having two was really helpful in that sense.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay, good. So you've landed in Lisbon. Are you staying in Lisbon or Greater Lisbon? Where are you located?
We are up on the Silver Coast, but fairly close. We're in the Caldas de Reina area.
Okay. So did you take a car from Lisbon there? Did you have that already booked, or how did you get to your apartment that you had?
We had a transport already booked, and because we'd brought four large of the 50-pound bags with us and two cat carriers, we booked a van. And he met us, and we had no issue with that, helped us get our luggage in and up to the apartment. It was a really good experience.
Good. And you didn't ship anything. You just came over with those bags.
We came over just with bags. Yes.
Yep. Okay, great. So after you got there and you settled, was the apartment furnished, like everything set up, or did you have to set anything up?
No, it was just partially furnished. And so we had a lot of setup to do, which was really fun. But it took a really long time. You can see behind me, like most of my walls are mainly still blank. You know, it just takes time to get it all in there.
How long have you been in there now?
We got here on Halloween. So
okay.
4 months.
Good. Yep. Good. All right. So then when you got approved, did they assign you your in-person appointment in Portugal, or what was the next step paperwork-wise and visa-wise?
We were very lucky. We both had appointments assigned with a little stamp in the visa with the URLs. And we were at the same location on the same day and the same time. And we were just like, oh my gosh, things are going so well.
Yeah.
So we were a little nervous because we were in assigned to an appointment in Lisbon at the busiest one. So we were a little bit worried that could mean that it would take a long time to get our cards. But we figured they did a lot of people, so it should be a pretty smooth process because they're going through volume.
Okay. So at the time of that appointment, was it Seth or Ima?
It had changed to Ima at that point. And we knew that beforehand, because it happened, you know, close, but not so close we would be completely surprised. So we made sure we went online and we got the new application form that's basically the same as the old CEF one, but it has an Ima logo on it.
Okay.
So we printed that out. We filled everything out on that. And the day of our appointment, the lady pulled it out of our paperwork, pointed to the Ima logo and was like, I'm good. And I was like, Seth, and I mind like crumpling up paper and threw it over my shoulder. And she thought that was funny. Although she worked for Seth for 25 years before she worked for Ima. So,
okay. So she just got shifted over doing the same thing, but for Ima rather than Seth, probably.
Right. And I think that happens a lot. And so don't worry that they're going to just be completely newbies at this because most of them had been doing it a long time, as our lady had been.
Okay. And what did you take with you in addition to that application?
We took really all the same things, except less of it, honestly. We took full printouts of our Portuguese bank accounts and statements, and we had 3 months of our mutual funds and our U.S. bank kind of sitting in a separate pile and prepared to give it to her. And she didn't take it from us. She had what she needed, but we had the same financial set and most of the same paperwork that we had before. We did include the apostilled marriage license, the certified apostilled, and I had gotten it translated here in Portugal, and she did take that.
Okay.
I think if they had considered me a true D7, that might not have been necessary, but with the accompanying family, I think it probably was. So a good idea to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or if you have kids, that's another thing that I always tell people, the marriage license and the birth certificates that needs to be in the packet, if you have kids. So that's a big one too.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of anything completely unusual that we took, but we did print out from the CEF. They were still using the CEF website, and we had our appointment page. And so I went on and I printed that page that showed my appointment and my time. And I printed one for Eric. And when we went to IMA that day and we were outside, we had those paper with us to show our appointment time, which ended up being really a great thing. There was a huge line. Line. And we had this 8:30 appointments, and we stood, we had read online, don't worry about the huge line, stand over if you have an appointment, because the big line is for people without appointments. And so we stood kind of over to the side. And when the guard came out, he came out and he said in English, I want to just see the people with 8 and 8:30 appointments. And I walked right up to him and showed him the paper and pointed to the 8:30, and he just waved us right in. So that was great.
Yeah. Really good. Really good. Then have that printed out and proof of that, really important. So you don't get stuck in that line or just lost in the shuffle because you don't have the proof. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So you had that appointment. How long did that appointment take?
40 minutes for both of us, including biometrics.
All right. And then you're done with that appointment. How long did it take for you to get your residency card?
Not bad. 60 days, essentially. I got mine a few days before Eric. About 60 days.
And was Eric sweating it when you got yours and he didn't get his?
No, he figured, he had heard stories that people were different. He was a little bit nervous, but it was cute because the mailman that delivered mine, Eric signed for mine, and Eric said, just one. And the CTT guy said, yours will be here soon. Of course, you know, he had no way of knowing that, but it was cute that he thought we needed reassurance.
That is cute. Do you think if Eric's came first, would you be freaking out, or you'd be okay with it?
Oh, my personality would be like every day I would be like refreshing on the CEF website to see if anything looked different. Yeah, I would have been. So it was great that it was the other way around.
Yeah, that's the same with me and Josh. I would be freaking out, but yeah. Okay, good. So that's all the paperwork stuff out of the way, which I think our listeners are going to be super interested in, because it's ever changing, right? So it's nice to hear your perspective, because you just went through it recently with VFS, with it was CEF, then it's IMA, but now you're here and you're in the Caldas-Chihana area. How are you liking it? Is it too big, too small? Have you met people? Tell us about your experience.
We love the area. It is, you know, by our standards, it's a fairly small town, but there are other small towns in the area. And so it's sort of, I say we live in the Caldas-Chihana area because it is. It's like an area with a nice community. It's got an expat community, but it's not huge. When we first got here, it's beautiful and green, and it's convenient to the ocean. And it actually has quite a bit going on for a town of its size. And that's what that was the main appeal for us. And being relatively easy to get into Lisbon was also nice as well. But we did choose to have a car, and in a smaller area, I think it's really helpful to do that if you're not in Lisbon or Porto, especially. Shortly after we got here, Thanksgiving happened, and they had an expat event at the hotel around the corner from us. So we attended that, and we met some expats early on. But even before that, in a little restaurant that we just wandered into, we met some expats because the owner knew them. And when they came in, he said, "Oh, you should meet this couple. They're new, and they're from the States too." And so we met, and now we've become friends. And they have a cat as well.
Okay. All right, good. Are you noticing, is there a specific age demographic for the expats there, or are you noticing like families, retirees, a whole mix, or is there a certain type?
At the Thanksgiving group, I would say there was a good mix, but it skewed a little bit older like us. But that said, you know, we at our table had a mix, and we had people in their 30s there. So I would say mid-30s and up was what the group tended to be.
Okay. And where were some of the other places that were on your list of possible cities you could live in before you chose the Cal de Tijuana area?
We liked Lydia a lot. That was number two for us. And then the other two that we liked were closer to where you are. We really liked Villa Nova Familical and Guimarães.
Okay. Okay, great. So are you happy with your choice?
Yes. Yeah. We're very happy here. It's funny though, because one of the things that made us gravitate toward this area, other than just the feel, was we were a little worried it might be too cold and wet and rainy for us, even though we'd lived in the Bay Area in California and we were kind of used to that type of weather, like the San Francisco weather. And so I think that steered us a little further south, but the Cal de Tijuana area, it tracks more with the north as far as being cooler. And it's totally worked for us. We love the climate here, the little microclimate.
Okay, great. That sounds good. Well, any final advice you would give to our listener on the process of, you know, retiring, moving over here, the paperwork, maybe emotions and expectations, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely plan that things are going to take longer than you think, because it's really nice to be pleasantly surprised. And it's not good to think you're going to be the golden person who has everything perfect, and then you don't, and you just stress yourself out. Paperwork wise, I found that joining Facebook groups with other people that were moving to Portugal and staying in tune with your YouTube videos and other vloggers were helpful, because they really had their hands more on the pulse of what was going on and the changes with the transition. And you got to hear about specific experiences of people who went to exactly the same VFS global office that you did, like the month before you went, and what they were asked for. So I found that very calming, because I could see, am I really going down a rabbit hole here of like over preparing, or are other people doing a similar thing to me? And it kind of kept me grounded. So I would recommend those two things.
Okay, great. And at Expats Everywhere, we believe that living abroad transforms lives. So how has moving to Portugal and living abroad transformed your life?
Well, it's early days, but we've both noticed that we sleep a lot better because our stress level is lower because we are retired, and it is a smaller community that's more laid back. But so I think that's been the most transforming thing about it. And we also just get up in the morning and we have this sense of we've started a new chapter, and that's very invigorating as well.
Awesome. Well, Diane, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I was really pleased to be invited, and hope it will be helpful for someone.
So listener, we know that you are preparing to move to Portugal.
We did everything ourselves for the D7 visa. So we have a DIY D7 course. We also have a DIY remote worker course now since they've split those up.
And if you're already here, we have a living in Portugal course for you. Now, the difference between the D7 and the D8 or the digital nomad visa course that you could get is if you have active income, you should be getting the digital nomad or D8 course. If you have passive income, you should be getting the D7 course. And we have a special promotion for anybody that is a listener of this podcast. If you type in podcast at checkout, you will get $15 off.
So these will just guide you through exactly what you need. They stay up to date as things change. And once you purchase it, it's yours for life. So if you're not ready to go now, you can still get it and take a look and you can use it later on.
And Kaylee is a mad lady and she is always updating the course so that it doesn't fall out of date.
Well, I have to because they're always changing things and so it has to stay up to date.
That's facts.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Let's Move to Portugal. Contact info for all the services mentioned are in the show notes. If you like the show, please subscribe. If you love the show, please tell a friend, connect with us on our socials, and if you want to help us out, give us a review on your podcast player. Expats Everywhere Presents Let's Move to Portugal is produced by Time or Money Productions.
Expats Everywhere researches our guests, and we do our best to provide factual and relevant information at the time of the recording. Despite our best efforts, we can make no guarantees as to the accuracy of what you've heard in this episode. We highly recommend that you do your own research and check your own facts.